Jordy.
Michelle Margarita. I'm Jordy Gron. You're Michelle.
Hi.
I'm the
Happy
nice
New
one.
Year. Oh my
You're
God.
The mean
now
one.
Now that's not a Happy New Year now, is it? Yes. But first, I think I need to make an apology to Jen.
Yes, Michelle, I think you do.
So I had Jen call me and she said, oh, well, I loved that New Year's Eve podcast. She said, I was shocked. I was as shocked as Geordie when you said fanny juice.
And I was shocked. Michelle, you let yourself down. You let yourself down. You let us all down.
What she said to me, I don't know. She said, I don't know what Andreas is going to think of you. Thank God he doesn't listen to it. Otherwise, he'd be thinking, who have I got myself mixed up with?
I have to admit, I did almost fall off my chair. But I hope that the listeners can forgive Michelle's, she just forgot that it's probably called something other than, you've just said it again now. Let's just call it what it is, Michelle. It's a discharge.
Oh, I think that's even worse. Moving right along.
Well, I need to make an apology as well because I unfortunately said that there was a centenary in Australia. And then you put the ad up, which was Celebration of a Nation in 1988. It was a bicentenary. The white settlers arrived 200 years before. That's right. Yes. Not Captain James Cook. It was when they sent the other ones out. So it was, I think it was Philip, Captain Arthur
God
Philip.
Knows. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But anyway, well, people do know. It's part of our history, Michelle. We ought to know it.
Yes,
so that's how they had tall ships coming into the harbour and it was a big celebration of a nation. Now, I have to say the ad was interesting because who did you recognise in that ad full of Australian stars of the 80s? There was John English, old Panda Eyes.
Oh, I saw John English. He was all right.
Delvine Delaney?
I was going to say Delvine Delaney. She looked quite pretty back then.
She was a lovely
blonde
girl. Yeah.
Fresh-faced.
And that was pretty much it. I didn't know who was singing. I didn't know who anyone else was.
No, me either. Another quick apology to the listeners because
yes.
We
had
suggested.
We are just so sorry.
For our existence. We did say that we were going to do a Hometown Murders extra droppings. And we have decided that actually we're not going to do it because we've spooked the fuck out of ourselves basically on that one, because it turns out this is super sleuthing not by us but by loyal listeners all over this planet. We have decided that not to do an extra dropping basically because dude is out, we think.
So if that's the case, you know what, I kind of feel like he's done his time. There, you know, there's a prison system for a reason, and I don't really want to be digging up any more on that particular subject. I'd like to just leave him to live his life, and then we'll move on and talk about other people's horrible stories or other stories.
Or Ben Mendelsohn.
You'll wonder why we're talking about him all the time. I'll just say one thing. He is our patron saint. I want to say patron.
No, that's really not right.
No, that's not the right way.
Patron.
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 Patron. I've got some Ben Mendelsohn facts to kick off the show today, Michelle.
Do you really? All right, go for it.
Do you remember that we said we were going to acquaint ourselves with his back catalogue?
Yes, and in fact, I did watch a movie.
What did you watch?
I rewatched The Year My Voice Broke.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
Well, you've got to go to the illegal streaming sites.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Not that I did that, obviously.
No, you wouldn't have done that.
Of course not. No. I'm an upstanding citizen. But no, I rewatched it and I...
Tell me about it.
Oh God, it was just so beautiful. Literally from the opening scene where you have this spectacular sunrise in Braidwood.
It is a really gorgeous little town. Let me just quickly interrupt you. I love Braidwood and Mongala and the surrounding areas.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, you know, this was filmed in, I think, 87.
Was it?
Same as the Pike murder. Ooh. Yes. And it's just so beautiful. I mean, like, the Southern Tablelands, so stark and desolate with these beautiful gum trees. You see the heat shimmering on film. And it's such a beautiful coming-of-age film, but really kind of sad, too.
Oh, don't tell me what happens, because I've never seen it.
I won't, but Ben Mendelsohn's hilarious because he's basically the town thug and he's a bit thick in this film. I mean, like, totally buff.
It's funny you should say that.
Okay, what have you got?
Well, I you know, I keep making comments that he guest starred in A Country Practice. Now, that's just me being facetious, because A Country Practice, in case you aren't Australian, or if you're under 30, you won't know what it is. It's a sleepy little town called Wandon Valley. It's one of those Aussie soap operas that was on of an evening, like 7:30. My whole family used to sit down to watch it. We loved it. I particularly love to sing along to the theme tune like this. Country practice. Lorraine Wenzel. What was it? Lorraine Desmond. Brian Wenzel. Jane Porteous. We used to do that. But I loved it. And I thought, now, of course he hasn't. I looked through his CV. He hasn't put A Country Practice down on his CV. Thanks, Ben, for not doing that. Because I had to read through A Country Practice timeline, which was about an hour of my life lost. And I discovered such facts as Baz Luhrmann guest starred.
Whoa. Yep. Okay.
Nicole Kidman guest starred. And I remember her episode. I think she was glue sniffing.
Oh, my God. But the thing is, they don't put, I mean, it was a rite of.
He did guest star.
Rite of passage.
He did it.
But he did?
Yes. That's what I mean. Thanks, Ben, for not putting it on your CV. You could have saved me a lot of time.
I thought he was in Flying Doctors. You made a joke about that and I thought, yeah, ha, ha, ha. But actually, I think he was in an episode of Flying Doctors.
I didn't used to watch that one. We didn't get that. We only had two stations in our little town.
Yeah, me too. We only had two. But I remember Flying Doctors. Maybe it was from reruns. I don't know. But apparently Ben was in an episode of Flying Doctors.
Oh, really? Probably as a town thug, which I'll get to in a minute. But just before we move on from A Country Practice, I wanted to say that I once met the stars of A Country Practice at the point where I didn't care anymore. I was probably about 15, 16. My friend Nat and I got dropped off at the Nelligan Fun Day. And there was some stars like Brian Wenzel, who played the town cop, who was married to Shirley, who was the local receptionist of the vet practice, which it was all about. And we walked around with water pistols and signs that said Brill on one side and Dull on the other. And we thought we were hilarious. So Brian talked to us and said, what's that you got there, a water pistol? And we were like, Dull or Brill with our signs. So ridiculous. I'm a little bit embarrassed about that. But listen, I didn't watch A Year My What's it called? Of the Year.
The Year My Voice Broke.
Or Bloodline or anything amazing that he's been in. I did, however, watch the trailer for The Henderson Kids. Which was,
I don't even remember
Ben Mendelsohn's breakout role is about two city teens whose mum gets hit by a truck. So they have to move to Haven Bay, population 300. It's a seaside town, probably very similar to where I grew up. And their uncle who has to care for them is the local cop. So that means that the bad boy gang led by Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, he's a bad boy.
They don't like the cop's kids. So there's one scene where he goes, you two better watch out. We don't like Henderson's around here. I loved it. And he's wearing a denim jerkin and he's bashing his BMX into the Henderson's.
What's a jerkin?
It's a little cut off denim jacket. Like a jerkin is like a little gilet. Vest. Like a gilet, yeah.
Oh, a little denim
he's
gilet.
He's rocking the gilet. But he didn't, I don't think he might. Oh, Kylie Minogue was in this one as well. And she was playing the town bike, I think. I'm not sure. She looked quite slutty. I'm not sure.
Oh. No.
Very dark dyed red hair and a lot of makeup.
Oh, she sounds like Nicole Kidman. No, really?
What?
Yeah. Well, she's got dyed red hair. Because remember, back in those days, she had the curls.
I loved those curls.
Well, I like Nicole Kidman's curls. I actually
That's
begged
what talking
Jen
about.
For a home.
Who are we talking about?
You said Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, and then you said Nicole Kidman, didn't you?
I said, yes, because you said Nicole. No, you said Kylie Minogue had red hair in this.
Yeah, but it's not natural. It's dyed. Like
yes,
plum.
But then she looks like Nicole Kidman.
No, she doesn't look anything like Nicole Kidman. No.
Oh, well, right.
It's pre-work. Right. It's Kylie pre-work, so she doesn't look anything like.
Well, no, she looks normal.
Yeah. Or like the town. Oh. The town. Smart mouth. Let's call her a smart mouth. But they've got some great vintage colloquialisms in there, like grouse. And
oh grouse.
Your
oh.
dag.
Oh, your dag. I remember dag.
And what about this one, Michelle? You've got Buckley's.
Oh, now, Buckley's.
Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, it means no chance.
Yeah. What is? You why do Buckley's, they say mate? Buckley's, though?
No idea. No idea. No idea. But do you remember when somebody, you'd get really upset about someone, and so, and then your friend would be like, oh, stop being so cut. And they do the little scissor action.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle's cut.
Michelle,
have a tear.
And then never did that one.
No. Oh, Michelle's having a tear. No.
No. That.
What about get a big black dog up here? Did you have that one?
Everyone had that one. Young, get a big black dog.
Young girls saying that in the toilets, in the girls' toilets. That's terrible.
Are you scrag? Mm. You mole?
Mole. That's
mole, scrag. They were the ones. Oh, God. They were the worst. If you were a scrag. But then you could have a scrag.
What?
You could have a scrag. That means you'd have a fight.
Yes, girl fight was a scrag, wasn't it?
Yeah. Scrag. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
Oh, they were the days.
God knows how we got through them, Michelle. Such sensitive souls as you and I.
I know. Well, you know, I don't know why, but I just thought about scungies.
Oh, scungies were the little black pairs of pants that you put over your actual pants. So when the boys lift your skirt up, they don't get to see your actual pants.
No, they just see a pair of scungies.
A little pair of black netball knickers.
Well, we had blue because we at Kayleen High, we had blue. But yeah, I had the blue scungies under, do you remember the sports skirts?
PE skirt. Flat front, weird clip fastening, pleats all around the back. Hated that skirt.
They're expensive. Oh, I love them. I had to beg Jen, please, Jen, I need one of those PE skirts.
You had to have one. It was
you could just wear your scungies.
You can't just walk around in scungies.
Well, for PE you could.
So just pants and a vest.
And a t-shirt. Yeah.
That's practically naked.
Yeah, but not when you're a kid. You just think they're scungies.
Do you know what? Here in the UK, children pre a certain age, I can't remember how old. I certainly know that my older boy, Killian, he used to have to do PE in his pants and vest. They were all in their pants and vests. But listen, we're not here to reminisce about Australian school days, thank God.
No.
We've got a different subject to discuss today, haven't we?
Yes, we do. And I think you should introduce it.
Okay. I said to Michelle, I love fairies and elves and things like that. And I want to talk about the Icelandic fairies because I had a mortgage advisor who was Icelandic. And when we bought our house, she said something about fairies. And I was like, what? She said, yeah, we all believe in fairies in Iceland. And I was like, huh? I thought she was pulling my leg. But I looked into it. And they do.
Well, I mean, obviously, I've told you before.
You don't believe.
I am not into fairies. I don't believe in them. I've never had any interest in them. I don't think about fairies. I don't think they're real.
Well, I've stopped thinking about fairies, but I used to love, and I still do love the idea of fairies, especially the Irish stories about fairy folklore and stuff. But the Icelandic one is quite fascinating. Let me just say one thing before we do kick off, just in case we have any problems with the podcast, Michelle. My friend Moira, your friend and mine, Moira, who we've mentioned before, she has said that when other people have tried to discuss fairies on their podcast, something always goes wrong. The fairies get in. Yeah.
Because do you know what? When I was doing a little bit of research about fairies, I always think of fairies as being, you know, sort of Tinkerbell, Peter Pan, lovely little kind fairies with wings. But no, they can be shady.
Absolutely.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So do you want to hear about the Huldufolk?
Oh, that sounds very Swedish, actually.
It's Icelandic. So apologies to all the Icelandic people out there while I murder your language. But basically they are, Huldufolk mean hidden people. And they're also known as Olva or elves.
Okay.
So, but actually, I think there's two. And they date, so there's either the Olva or the Huldufolk. And they date back to the Middle Ages in Iceland. And as you may or may not know, I didn't know, but Iceland is a colony.
Of what? Of who?
It was colonized by the Norwegian and the Swedish Vikings.
Okay.
And they're thralls. Do you know what a thrall is?
No idea.
Thrall. It's a slave, like a particularly women's slave. Like you used to go and maraud and capture, you know, all along the northern coast of the UK, Scotland, Ireland. They
went and raided monasteries and killed everyone and took all the women and some of the men, and they brought them back with all the gold back to start new countries like Iceland. And so Iceland was mostly populated by Swedish, Norwegian and Gaelic, Irish, Scottish women.
I mean, you'd have to be pretty desperate to go that far up and get that cold just to have a bit of land, because I've never been to Iceland. Apparently it's gorgeous, but it's in the middle of fucking nowhere. So
there's also the Faroe Islands as well, which is nearby.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to go there.
Okay. I'd like to go there too.
So the Faroese also believe in these fairies, and they're different. So okay. Not fairies. I'm going to call them fairies. They're the hidden folk. So the Faroese ones, they don't like electricity or crosses, churches or anything like that. And they're large and grey with black hair. But the ones in Iceland are invisible. This is the hidden folk. They're invisible, hence they're hidden. But they look like us and they live amongst the rocks. And if they want to be seen, they can be. But they rarely are.
Okay.
So why are there two different types, I wonder? And are they actually that different? Like the Ulvar, which are the elves. They've got two lots. They say it's because after Christianization of Iceland, some would say that the hidden folk were Eve's unwashed children that she hid from God. And then when he found out, he said, what man hides from God, God hides from man. So he made them invisible. That's one of the explanations. Yeah.
Okay.
But actually the folk tales, which go way back before Christianization, tell of the Norse settlers, which I've just described to you, from the 9th century and their Irish slaves. So those Irish slaves would have brought all their lovely stories of elves and pixies and that kind of thing with them. So that's why there's two different entities.
Okay.
Yeah. So let me tell you something though, Michelle, that you won't know. You will if you've never been to Iceland, you won't know that you will see elf houses around there, and you must never throw a stone in case you hit a hidden person.
What do you mean by elf house? What do you mean they're everywhere?
Well,
You been, by the way?
No, I haven't, but I looked at lots of documentaries and travel logs on YouTube for this. Yeah, there are lots of little elf houses, but they've been made by people. Like, here's a little elf house. I mean, it's great for tourism.
Of course.
It's great for tourism.
Of course.
And that 10% of the people of the population do actually believe in them, like properly believe in them. 10% don't. So that's equal. Okay. 10% each way. The rest can't decide, but they won't say no for fear of upsetting the hidden folk and the Ulvar.
Okay, so it's quite deeply entrenched in their culture.
Absolutely, Michelle. Absolutely. There's a bloke called Terry Gunnell who's an elf expert, but I called him an elf spurt. I thought that was funny. He says that the landscape of Iceland, and this makes absolute sense when you look at these documentaries and stuff, because, I really want to go there now. It's so dramatic. And when your home can be destroyed by things that you can't see, like maybe, the weather, whatever, it's easier to explain the ability to believe in these little creatures, you see. And some people are concerned, but it's good for tourism. Yeah, so some Icelanders think that they don't really want to be promoting this we believe in fairies because they want to be taken seriously,
Yeah.
And they don't, and they think that the rest of the world will laugh at them. But actually, when you're in Iceland talking about fairies, people won't think that you're crazy, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I guess if it's a cultural thing, and certainly, I've seen some Icelandic crime dramas.
Oh,
and
what was that one called that we liked? Hidden.
Trapped.
Trapped. Not hidden.
Trapped.
What? One track mind.
Oh, trapped with that big, handsome bear of a man who's the lead in it. Oh, I do love him.
He's the actor that's in all the Icelandic shows.
Of course, because he's incredible. Oh, I love him. There was actually a scene in, I think it was series 2, where one of the elder ladies in the community was talking about...
Elves?
Not so much elves, but just this folkloric, nod to, I think, spirits and this culture they have of believing in sort of the netherworld of spirits.
That's funny. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was series 2. But I think also that you never know with translation. It could have been elf, and maybe the translator was like, okay, that's too weird. I'm not putting elf in. I'm going to put spirits. Like, I don't know. Right. But yeah, there was, you know, it is very much a part of their culture. And it's the same, you know, it's the same in Sweden too, yeah, to a point. A little bit, oh, yeah.
Well, they take it so seriously that during a road construction in 1971, a bulldozer broke down. The driver placed the blame on the elves living in the large rock that he was trying to bulldoze. Despite locals not being having been made aware of any elves living in the rock, newspapers ran with that story, thus starting the myth that Icelandic road construction was often impeded by elves.
Okay. Do you know what? It is bizarre. It's bizarre that grown people in this day and age can think that an elf will block a road.
I like the idea.
Construction.
And I'll tell you why in a minute. Because then later on in 1982, 150 Icelanders went to the NATO base in, here we go, Keflavik, hopefully that's right, to look for elves who might be endangered by American phantom jets and reconnaissance planes. So, you know, that is 150 Icelanders going to rescue some elves from the American naval base. That's amazing, right?
Oh, it's insane.
2004.
It's nuts.
There's more.
Yeah.
2004, this aluminium company called Alcoa had to have a government expert certify that their chosen building site was free of archaeological sites, very much like the traditional owners in Australia when the miners come into Western Australia.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. And we absolutely back that. And they believe in spirits, don't they? So
they do. Yeah. Yes.
Including, so basically they had to get these experts in before they could start work to find out that there were no archaeological sites, including ones related to Hulda folklore, before they could build an aluminium smelter in Iceland.
Okay. So do you know what? You were just talking about
Australian.
You know, Australian, yeah, folklore for, you know, the Aborigines. And I think it's different because you're talking about sort of first Australians and they're a people. Whereas, and they have these beliefs about spirits, but the Icelandic people,
they're a colony.
Well, but it's not as if they are harking back to like the first settlers, or I shouldn't even first settlers, for the people, the indigenous people of Iceland.
Like the Samis or whoever were there.
Yeah, first. Yeah. It's not even,
no, it's not
even that. So it just seems a bit nuts. I can't get into it. I can't believe that it would really be such a strong cultural influence on a society.
I know.
Well, it's bizarre.
In 2011, elves or huldufolk were believed by some to be responsible for an incident in Bolungarvik, don't know if I've got that right.
No, probably not.
Where rocks rained down on residential streets. Rocks were raining down. You would have to be blaming some kind of supernatural force for that. And if you already believed in elves, or if 10% of you did, the other 10% would be like, maybe. There's no other explanation.
I would love to talk to an Icelandic person and ask them really what they think, and if there was something from their grandmother that influenced them, and if they believe it or not, because it just sounds insane.
Do you know what? Perhaps we should send this to the one Icelandic person that I know, and I'll ask him to get back to us.
That's a good idea.
I didn't even think. Björkvin, his name is.
Oh, I love that name.
You know him.
Do
you remember we were sitting around in a pub once and we were talking about sheep's stomachs and rotting bits of shark meat? He was telling you all about the lovely things that you can eat when you visit.
Gotta go. Sounds amazing. Great cuisine.
Going back to the, I want to talk more about this road construction, because in 2013, Michelle, there was a proposed road construction, and that was stopped as well because elf supporters and environmental groups protested, stating that the road would destroy the habitat of elves and local cultural sites. So basically, the point of it all, and I like this as a point, is that it teaches the Icelandic people and the government have to take heed, because so many people are into it, to have respect for nature and the environment.
Yeah. But you can do that without believing in elves.
Well, if you got to do what you got to do, you know, because a lot of people
don't.
They don't take it seriously.
No, they don't. But, you know,
And they've got such an amazing country. Like you said before, they've got the Northern Lights, they've got geysers, they've got barren rocky landscapes, lava fields, and these beaches with jet black sand. It's stunning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really would love to go there, but I'd never make it past Sweden because...
Because that's where you've got to stop.
That's where we always have to stop. And I love it. I absolutely love
Sweden.
One
day when all the borders are open again. But I did hear today a very depressing thing from an Australian friend. And that is that we can just forget about travelling at all until 2022.
Yeah. I kind of thought that was pretty much the case.
That's
especially
heartbreaking.
Going back home. Yeah. Forget it. Yeah.
Anyway.
But
there's elf churches all around the country.
What?
Yeah. And they
what
have
the hell?
And those elf churches are attended by all of the different Hildefolk and all the different elves and elvers or whatever they're called. And they have many different faiths, just like we do.
Okay.
There's an elf garden in Reykjavik, and there's a lady called Raga who has been a pal. She's been pals with elves since she was little, and she's got a little imaginary friend. And she loves to talk. I've seen her in about 3 or 4 different documentaries. So she communes with these guys constantly, all day long. They help her to do tarot readings. They've given her recipes for tea that she likes to serve the people when they come to the elf garden. And best of all, there's an elf school.
What the fuck?
There's a website. I'm going to read you a little bit from the website. Okay, it says,
all right.
Are you interested in elves? Did you know that 54% of the Icelandic nation believes that elves exist? And would you love to spend one pleasant afternoon in listening to true stories of friendship between elves and hidden people and Icelanders in recent times and eat pancakes and drink coffee or tea in the meanwhile? Then the elf school might be for you.
Oh my God.
That's a
Honestly,
selling point.
I just...
Pancakes and coffee?
It's just PR nonsense. Come on.
I think we're getting to the crux of the matter here, Michelle. Now, this elf school guy, the headmaster, whose name is so complicated, I'm not even going to attempt it.
No,
he's
worry.
Also, like Raga, he was in lots of the travelogues as well. He says that 90% of witnesses, people who've actually seen the elves, are psychic. There's around 1,200 people who've said they've seen them. And there are photos and gifts from the elves as proof. And I guess you'll see them once you pay your admission fee to elf school.
Of course you have to pay an admission fee. I guess you don't get those pancakes for free.
No, exactly. Pancakes cost money, man. Anyway, he says, I've met more than 900 Icelanders and 500 foreigners from 40 countries that have seen elves. 380, he's got lots of stats. 380 have talked to them, 170 talked with them more than once, 65 or 70 have had a lifetime friendship with them, and yeah. 15 or 16 have been invited into their houses in another dimension, he says. Now, that's what they think. They are alongside us at all times in another dimension, but they seem to be aware of us, and only a certain percentage of us seem to be aware of them.
Yeah, but this also connects back to angels and spirits. You know, is it just... shades of the same thing, because, you know, maybe it doesn't matter what you call them. If you maybe you have to believe in, yeah, they reveal themselves to the believers.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, nothing reveal itself to me, because I really don't believe in any of these.
Oh, Michelle,
I'm a skeptic.
Well,
I really am.
You don't
am.
Have to believe, I suppose, but it is fun to believe in them. But anyway,
it is fun.
This headmaster goes on to say, when he's talking to the hidden people, they have conversations. And when he was asked about what the conversations are about, they always ask, humans, why do you pollute so much? You have to stop this global warming and stop this pollution and stop this destroying the atmosphere. You will kill yourselves and you will also kill us and all the other dimensions too if you don't change. There's a message.
Yeah, there is a message right there. Greta Thunberg would be very happy to hear that message.
Absolutely.
But I mean, when I was digging into fairies a little bit, there are all different types of fairies, and you could have nature fairies who very specifically are out there to look after the environment and help your plants grow and give your green thumb, you know, a little bit more of a green twist. I don't know.
A green twist.
You know much about a little. Yeah, they make your green thumb a little greener. But do you know much about these?
What, the nature fairies?
Fairies?
No, I don't really. I know a little bit about the Irish
fairies and stories. Like when I've been in Ireland, because I've got family in Ireland, whenever I go there, years ago actually, I, for the first time in my life, I heard a fox screaming in the night and I didn't know it was a fox. And my brother-in-law was also there. He's Irish. And we were both working on a film at the time, Braveheart. And we, the next day I went in to do the makeup for all these, all the boys who were the, either the, they were from the army, they were the extras. So I was doing their makeup. I was asking one of the chaps about this noise that I heard in the night. And he said, oh, that was the banshee. You've heard the banshee. And he had me so frightened because you only hear the banshee when someone's about to die.
It could have been you.
Well, I'm still alive.
I know, because I don't think it wasn't a banshee. It was a wolf mating.
No, it's not a wolf. It was a fox.
Oh, fox.
Michelle, get with
I'm
the
getting
program.
It all wrong. Oh, fox, all the same.
You don't hear the banshee scream when you're going to die. You hear the banshee scream when someone close to you is about to die, I believe is the myth or the legend. Hang on.
What is that noise?
That
fairies.
It's the fairies.
Goddamn fairies.
That was a fairy gong. Saying, stop taking the piss, out of us.
Believe in me.
So did you actually do any research apart from... So you did. You said you looked into the nature fairies. Gretchen, my daughter, thinks she saw one. She's
really
convinced she saw a fairy.
Well, what did she say?
She said she saw a minute person with really fast flapping wings around...
Okay.
In amongst some plants or flowers or something. She's convinced.
Well, you know, I did do some research on fairies and not really on nature fairies, but I did come across a report of somebody saying they had seen a fairy. And it was somebody, I don't know if they were in America or Canada, but they were invited to a blizzard party.
What's that? Well,
it means when you're snowed in, like people all go to one person's house and they stay the night, but they take, you know, food and board games and whatever.
Hey, that sounds like Christmas.
It does. It actually sounds fun, you know. So they all get like snowed in together and just have a good time. Probably booze is involved. But anyway, so this person was saying the friend who hosted this blizzard party was a Wiccan, which is a white witch. And this the host had all these books on like magic and fairies and ghosts and whatever. This person like had a little flick through but didn't think anything of it. Now, I say this part of the story because I think these things can infiltrate your mind, especially maybe after you've had some booze at a blizzard party. But anyway, so this person said they were asleep and then they woke up and felt something on the bed, kind of like when you feel a cat jumping.
We talked about this in a previous podcast, didn't we? The incubus succubus episode.
Well, they say it wasn't that, but it basically, you know, they just felt something walking up towards their face. And this person said they could move, but they didn't want to sit up. So they kept their eyes open, tried to stay calm. And then what they saw was this tiny little person dressed in black with long hair, about a foot high. So not that small, but because I was thinking, what, like 2 inches? Like when you see little Peter Pan style fairy. But
I'm sorry, Michelle, but in my mind, I'm seeing, do you remember The Ring, that Japanese horror film with the...
I never saw it.
The lady with the long black hair. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that in my head. That's
okay, well, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailer for that, and that is fucking terrifying.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe this is. But they were saying, basically, this little humanoid...
A boggart. They call them boggarts. I think that's
really?
A bad one. Yeah, I think so. I might be wrong. Write in.
Anything with the word bog, it's not a nice word. Anyway, so this thing was like striding up the bed.
Ew.
And it was kind of spindly, but well-proportioned. And even though it looked kind of androgynous, this person says they could sense that it was a male.
Oh.
And anyway, basically, it just went up over this person's head.
It wasn't trying on,
walked across the pillow. No, there was no sex. Oh. Geordie. And then basically it just hit the bookshelf. And
what?
You know, well, it jumped off the pillow and hit the bookshelf.
Oh, so he hurt himself.
Yeah. And then landed and, well, I don't know if he hurt himself, but landed and was gone. So I don't Weird. Know. And this guy says, I wasn't suffering from sleep paralysis. I was awake. He says, I hadn't been drinking. I had not been meditating on the existence of fairies.
Right.
But cannot explain.
This is, so he's just said all the things that I would have come up with in response to
exactly
or feeling that. He knew, yeah, he was fully conscious.
And he thinks he basically had an encounter with a fairy. And then there are all these other things on the internet of people who think they've seen fairies because they've seen dancing orbs of light.
Oh, yeah.
In front of them and whizzing, light whizzing past, and they know that it's not a firefly or anything like that. Yeah, so
how amazing. Michelle, I think you ought to be a little bit careful what you say because you don't want to upset them.
Yes, but you know what? Look, when I was doing a little bit of research, I read this passage from, of all people, and we were talking about her recently, from Doreen Virtue.
Oh, Doreen.
Yes, and she had spoken about fairies. Mm. And okay, look, this must be from the old Doreen Virtue before she became born again. But it was basically that fairies are real, but only people who believe in them or who are open-minded or have a pure heart can see or sense in them.
I've heard that before. Them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have a pure heart then.
It's
because
as black as coal.
That's me. Yeah, because, and look, so I went to the Doreen Virtue website because obviously, look, I had a pack of her tarot cards.
Yeah.
I think they might have even been the Oracle cards that I bought years ago from, God, this little New Age shop on Crown Street in Sydney with my sister. And you had said your friend Tamira had talked to you about the fact that Doreen had denounced her New Age past.
That's right.
Because she was really one of the...
She was the leading lights in the angel world, wasn't she?
And fairies too. Yes, oh, absolutely. You know, she was super massive in the whole kind of New Age spiritual world. And she made angels and fairies popular. And so she does talk about fairies a lot. And she made a lot of money. I actually looked up how much she's worth. 116 million she made from all her New Age products, including all this stuff about fairies.
So tell me, Michelle, what on earth made her realize that they don't exist? And she became a born-again Christian and she denounced everything.
Well, look, I did go on her website and on her about page, it basically says she was raised in like the religion of Christian Science. I didn't even know what that was. Do you know what Christian Science is?
It's quite extreme, isn't it?
Well, basically it's the new name for the Church of Christ. And I was
Which
laughing
is a cult.
Because... Well, I don't know, but it's the one that my sister and I stole the pamphlets for and went round door knocking, singing,
We are the Church of Christ.
Yes. So, but apparently the Church of Christ is, it's a combination of religion and mysticism.
Okay.
Which I actually think sounds quite interesting. But anyway, and spirituality. So I guess this is where she initially had the foundation of her beliefs. But anyway, back to her about page.
Fuck. Sorry. Continue.
Okay?
I want to hear about this, but I'm getting excited back here and I'm knocking things left, right and center. Maybe it's fairies in the room.
The fairies are fucking you up. So look, she was the queen of the New Age and she literally was the top-selling New Age author pretty much of all time. I think even more than Donna Hay and all that lot. But she thinks she was deceived. And basically, Jesus called her. Like, not on the phone, but like she had this calling.
Doreen!
But she had this calling and she felt that she had been a sinner.
And because of all the angel talk and the fairy talk.
Yes.
And making all that cash out of them as well. I bet that's not on.
Oh, well, I mean, she's not giving it back, is she? Who's giving back 116 million? No one's giving that money back. But she's now studying theology and she renounced everything she's ever done related to anything New Age.
She
said for 58 years she believed in this New Age thing. And I think now she's like in her mid-60s. So probably
amazing.
Yeah. And she said everything she ever did before was basically bullshit. You know, I wonder if somehow she actually has influenced you in believing in fairies. Because she was huge, really.
Nothing to
she
do with that.
She was so huge. All of her products.
Enid Blyton was the one that got turned neon.
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. Magic Faraway Tree.
Absolutely. Magic Faraway Tree and everything that she'd ever written. And then from there, I had that book, which I've still got. It's like the Encyclopedia of Fairies, which I discovered in a charity shop when I was about 15. And I've been devoted to that ever since. And then, of course, my affiliation with Ireland. Whenever I go to Ireland, people will tell. They in an Icelandic way, almost sort of believe a little bit as well.
Yes, I don't know too much about that, but you probably do.
They definitely have, yes.
Well, leprechauns.
Well, they've got them.
Like rainbow at the end.
That's it.
Pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Four leaf clovers. All of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? When I was going through the internet, I found this thing because I was looking up fairies and I was like, what the fuck is this? So basically there is a fairy census.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a report from 2014 to 2017. It's more than 160,000 words long. This is like a massive fucking report. I found it on fairiest.com. And apparently the point of this report is not really to prove that fairies exist, but more to document who sees fairies and when they see them and where they see them. Mm. And basically to get an idea of the circumstances around when people see them. So some of the questions they asked was basic stuff like the gender of the person who saw the fairy, but also the gender of the fairy, when the sighting happened, the time, the location, if the person was with anyone else, how long the sighting went on for, the mood of the fairy. So if the fairy was like angry or friendly or
poking their eyes with a pine needle or something.
Exactly. And then also what kind of state the person was in before they saw the fairy. So I guess if the person was feeling happy or angry or if they'd just woken up or if they were just drifting off to sleep or whatever.
Michelle, I'd be really interested to know if there was any patterns that come out of this.
Yes, well, I think there are because they also ask things like if they heard fairy music.
Mm-hmm. Fairy music?
What the fuck is fairy music? It's what does that thing sound like? Well, what does it sound like?
It sounds like something you've never, ever heard before.
Like twinkling little bells. And then they ask if they actually did think they saw a fairy or maybe it was a ghost or an angel or an alien or something else. And the one thing that was apparently really frequently repeated by people taking the survey was that, and I mentioned this before, that fairy sightings were like, they were seen as glowing orbs of light. And that they also mentioned seeing these orbs in photographs, which I find really fascinating.
Did you see some?
Well, I have seen one, and actually a friend sent me a picture with a glowing orb of light just a couple of months ago.
A friend's actual personal photograph or something that they found?
No, her personal photo. Her personal photograph. Look, her partner just recently died and she sent me this picture and said, what the fuck do you think this is? And there was a picture of her. There was absolutely no way that this realistically could have made sense. But on the photograph, literally, it was cold. It was in Australia and it was cold. She was wearing this massive jacket. And over her heart was this glowing orb of light. I just texted her back and I said, well, that's her spirit. That's what's in that photograph. I mean, it was really insane.
That's like, amazing.
Yeah. And apparently this is what people often have remarked on in this fairy census is that, they see
feathers after somebody's died. Because that happened to some of my family members when my sister died. Yeah.
Fuck. It's really interesting. I find that stuff really interesting. But people sort of thought that maybe these orbs of light that they saw, and not necessarily connected to a dead person, but basically in photographs, were fairies. And there's a quote from one woman who says, and I'll read it out. It says, I was sitting in my living room one night and I saw a little ball of light whiz past the window. There were several other little orbs of glowing light. They were around the size of tennis balls, and on closer inspection, you could see the outline of spindly little bodies glowing.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. Like, do you know what? If I actually saw that, maybe I would be a believer. I don't know, but I've never seen anything like that. So who knows? But do you know what? You can actually go on and take the survey. And I did.
Yeah.
I went on and did this survey. And look, it's a bit shit in some ways because it asks if you believe in them. And I was like, no. But then it gets you to imagine a scenario where you see fairies in a wood, but they don't see you. So I guess like that part of the survey is more about your perceptions of fairies rather than encounters. But I think there is a link actually where you can describe your fairy sightings or experiences. But I didn't click onto that because I haven't had any and I just don't believe. But if you believe in fairies and you've had one, seriously, go on to Fairy.
I've never had a fairy experience. But I would love to know about the census. What is the usual thing that happens? Are you male? Are you female? Do you see male or female ones? Are you happy? Are you sad? What's the story?
I think you can download all that data, okay. I think, and you can figure it out. But I just didn't have time. But if you're interested, I think it's all there, and you can see if there are any patterns with the circumstances around people seeing fairies. So I don't know. But I thought that was really interesting.
Amazing.
And then, do you know what? I was, because, you know, obviously I've just said to you before, like, I've always thought fairies are cute little pretty flying things like Tinkerbell. Or when you lose a tooth and you have a tooth fairy.
Of course.
Of course. Which comes from Scandinavia, apparently, when, like, way, way back in the Vikings, where Vikings would carry the teeth of their kids, basically, during battle to keep them safe and give them good luck.
That's nice.
So I don't – yeah, it is nice. I don't know how that involves money, but anyway. But, you know, I was talking to you about Sweden and how there's this sort of connection. And Iceland and Norway and Denmark and Sweden, all those Scandi countries, they do have this cultural connection to, like you say, huldufolk and elves and fairies and things, but also trolls.
Oh, yes, of course. Did you see that great film, Troll Hunters?
No.
Oh, that's brilliant.
No. I tell you what I did see.
A troll. And,
oh, no.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yes, you bloody do, because I'm sure I talked to you about it at the time. So tell me. Have been like 2 years ago. Andreas, who is Swedish, when we try and watch anything together, it has to either be a Swedish film that has English subtitles or an English series with Swedish subtitles, so we both can enjoy it. And basically, we'd seen this poster for this nice Swedish film, and the poster looked beautiful. It were these two people swimming in a Swedish lake, and there were all forests around it, and it basically looked like a love story. And it was called Border. And so I said, "Oh well, yeah, this is good. Let's just watch this." So we basically thought it was going to be this like Swedish love story. So look, I won't give too much away in case anyone actually wants to see this film. Yeah, yeah. But so look, it's about this woman who works at border control. So basically,
oh, I get it.
Customs. Yeah. And she spends her days looking for people who are, you know, smuggling dodgy shit into Sweden. But she has this gift where she can literally smell guilt on people and shame, and you know, whenever anyone's doing anything bad or hiding nasty shit. So the thing is, this woman is basically a troll, and I mean, in the film, she is hideous looking.
Even when she's a border control cop,
she's a troll. Like, and it's this woman who's actually in real life beautiful, and they put all this prosthetic makeup on her, and she looks fucking terrible. I mean, hideous. And so it's all about her and this, and she ends up meeting this other troll as well. And so it turns into kind of troll love story. And then in the film, this baby gets stolen, but not in a changeling way, which actually is part of
fairy lore.
Folkloric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really. But this is more about like human trafficking.
Oh.
But all I will say is, really, this film is the most fucking weird, bizarre film. And it has the most disturbing sex scene I've ever seen in a film. I mean, I can't even tell you what it was because it's so insane. It's just, what the fuck just happened? And look, I can't say I recommend this film. And certainly
was
if you're
looking... Was it an uncomfortable watch with your partner?
It really is an uncomfortable watch. And, you know, like you were recommending Elf to me before. I cannot recommend this to anyone because it will scar you for life. And certainly do not let children watch this. But it's... because it's not like cute little trolls. It's kind of gruesome.
Ooh.
And this idea of changelings, because I thought, fuck, that's actually really full on. And you were nodding your head before about it.
Yeah.
And it really is this part of elf and troll and whatever folklore where they steal babies. So, and this is in like the UK, Scotland, Wales, like they have this idea of changelings. And basically the trolls steal a human baby and put a troll baby in the place of this human baby. So, I mean, can you imagine? Like, you're
so
there,
if you've got a baby that's crying, it's a bit unattractive, it's shitting all the time and always hungry, it's obviously
Basically a troll.
I think that started in Ireland, and I think that's because if they've had a baby that they're not particularly proud of, they can say it's a changeling.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually read that in Norway centuries ago, children with deformities that were usually caused by rickets if you got that child, it was blamed on the Hulda folk.
Yeah,
the
it's not
people.
Your fault, it's someone else.
No,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
someone else's fault. So God. Just kind of,
that's
kind
bad
of a
form.
Bit creepy.
Yeah.
It is creepy. It's not good. But then I thought about when you were talking about hidden people, and this is nothing to do with trolls and nothing to do with fairies, but do you remember, and this was back in the 90s, I think, mole people?
No.
The Mole People of New York.
Oh, yes. There was a film. Yeah. Oh.
It was a documentary. And also this woman back in
the
90s.
Was it like a fake documentary?
Well, she's later been discredited.
Okay.
But the basic facts of Mole People are true. That, you know, this woman did an expose. And look, from memory, she kind of did this article that made people realize that underneath New York, where all the old metro subway stations that had been disused and closed, there were all of these homeless people living underground because, you know, especially in New York in winter. I mean, it's fucking cold. I've been there in winter. I had a whole like massive, you know, like time when I was there during that period. And it's freezing. And if you're homeless, of course, if you're not going to stay like on the street in the snow when you can go underground and be like warm and dry inside a subway tunnel with all these other people, but it's dark. And this is why they're mole people, because there's no light, you know, so they live under there. And yeah, I mean, there are whole families that live down there with cats and everything, you know, like
wow.
They, yeah, really scary. Not that they're hidden people, but in society they are. They are the hidden people of our society.
Yeah.
Well, of American society. And it's crazy that above ground, New York, one of the richest, most splendid cities in the world, has this kind of literally dark subterranean culture right underneath your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Look beneath the surface.
But that's really all I've got on pixies and
that is
fairies and
bloody
trolls.
Amazing.
And
I loved it. I loved learning about Doreen Virtue's fall from fairy grace.
Yeah, I know.
It's shunning.
But this could happen to any of us. Can you? I mean, not me. But
what, becoming born again Christian
born
and denouncing
again.
Your entire life up to that point?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't happen to me.
If it does, we're done. No.
So how is she making money now?
She doesn't need to. She's got 116 million in the bank.
Sitting pretty.
She is. You know, she made all her money off those Oracle cards and all her books. And yeah, now she just can read about God for the rest of her life.
Just put your feet up, Doreen. You've earned it.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the plan all along. Make the cash, then you can just turn it back around.
Maybe. Do you know what? Do you know what? I did actually read, and you might remember this, J.M. Barrie, Peter Pan.
Yes.
Apparently, this is a quote. I'm probably not remembering it right, but...
First star on the right and straight until morning.
What the fuck? What is
That's
that?
A line from Peter Pan, and I was trying to do a Kate Bush song that she has it in there.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say.
Go on, sorry, I've thrown you.
No. It was more that for every person that doesn't believe in fairies, a fairy dies.
That's right.
So I'm literally a fairy killer. I'm a fairy killer.
You've got to clap, don't you? Clap louder. Clap louder. Yeah. If you believe in fairies, clap, because Tinkerbell was fading away and she needed the children to clap loudly to show her that they believed. Don't stop believing.
Thanks. What is it, Journey or whatever? No.
Anyway. Don't you sing it. It'll be in my head all day. I feel like we've really done fairies proud today and hidden folk and Ulver.
I don't know, but I would love to see one. Look, if I saw a fairy, I wouldn't say no. And actually, do you know
She'll
what?
She'll never turn you down. So fairies and elves out there, please get in touch. Michelle Margarita is waiting for your call. Yes, write in, fairies. Actually, we'd love to hear from any eavesdroppers who are listening and enjoying the show. We had a really beautiful message from an old friend, Naomi, the other day, and that absolutely made both our days to hear that we are, you know, touching people's lives.
Well, just it's nice to hear that, A, someone actually listens, and B, that someone got something out of it, because, you know, we're just literally talking shit.
We are. But we're open to any conversation starters, guys. If you want to get in touch via the Facebook page, please do.
Yes. And on that note, adios.
Farewell.
Eavesdropping. 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 Eavesdropping.